Welcome to Stewardology, a podcast where two worlds collide. In this show, financial advisor Tim Russell and Reverend Drew Geisy come together to explore the intersection of financial stewardship and theology. Their unique perspectives help Christians and churches understand and apply a biblical framework for everyday financial decisions, so Christians everywhere can improve and strengthen their walk with Christ through biblical stewardship. Before we get started, we just want you to know that all investing and investment strategies involve risk, including the potential loss of principal. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Individuals should consult their financial advisor for specific financial advice based on their personal circumstances. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Tim and Drew.
I'm Tim Russell.
And I'm Pastor Drew Geisy.
And we welcome you to this bonus episode of
the Stewardology Podcast. We welcome you to this video presentation of stewardship, investing, and the election. Thank you to all who are joining us through this video feed today. Stewardology is at the intersection of stewardship and theology. It's a podcast that Tim and I produce, we put together, and we want to encourage you, if you have not subscribed to it, go to stewardologypodcast.com and just scroll down. You'll see different feeds and links that are there that you can actually click on, and you can either get it in your inbox or just you can sign up and get it on your app. So we encourage you, come and join us on this journey of that cross-section of stewardship and theology. With the election, Tim, just a few weeks away, it seems like everyone, I don't know about you, are you tired of the ads yet?
Yeah.
I am so tired of them. And we've even had some arguments, some uncertainty that this campaign season's bringing about.
We haven't argued.
We have not argued. Praise the Lord on that. But we understand that many important matters will be decided in this election.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be discussing some of the questions that we have been getting from some of the clients that we work with. And these are questions in light of investing and the election.
Sure.
And what happens if our side doesn't win or the other side wins, or there's these questions that are coming back and forth that we're hearing. And the other question is, what's going to happen with the stock market? Should I do anything differently? What's going to happen to the investment? Is the sky falling? Tim, let's have some discussion about this, because you and I talked about this before and you had some really good points that I think will help our people.
You know, Drew, I really appreciate the fact that people are asking these questions because they're thinking about their own stewardship in a very, I think, constructive way.
Definitely.
So a couple points here. They recognize that, let me define stewardship. Stewardship is when you have been given something by someone else and you are responsible to care for that thing. That's so whether it's your time, your health, your family, or your money. So many of our clients, born-again believers, are recognizing that the money that they have is not ultimately theirs, but they have a stewardship responsibility to care for it.
They're the caretakers.
And as they're looking ahead and they're seeing that we have this election coming up and there's a lot at stake, they want to know, what is my role as a steward? How do I make sure that I am honoring God with my wealth? And I want to protect it because I need it to be here for retirement, for my family, and this is the provision that the Lord has provided for me to do those things.
It's a dual role. It's taking care of my family.
That's right.
And also being a good steward of what God has blessed me with.
So because of that, I think these questions are very, very natural.
So we love that so many people are asking these important questions.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, the other week, in fact, it was just last week, you gave a presentation to many of our clients, and you were addressing topics that approach rather a very, your answer was a very unique perspective that I think just really hit home with the clients that you're speaking with. Most financial advisors address these questions by starting about the history and explaining why the stock market can be trusted over and over. Tim, that is not where you started. And I think for many people that were listening, they were processing and they're thinking, where's he going? But I think They were so pleased with what they heard. And Tim, I would love for you to take a few minutes and share with those that are watching where you came from on that.
Yeah. You know, that's right, Drew. I do start from a different perspective. And it's primarily because the Life Financial Group is it's a Christian financial advisory firm. So because we're a Christian firm, we want to provide our advice that is founded in the Word of God. We want to, our little tagline is, we offer wealth management from a biblical worldview. So with that in mind, there are two biblical foundational ideas I want to develop with us. The first is a theological understanding of politics / the election.
Good place to start.
And then secondly, we're going to talk about how do we as Christians respond to the truths that we'll talk about within that section of theology and politics. So let's start with the theological foundation, which teaches us that God is sovereign. And part of his sovereignty includes the outcome of elections or who ultimately is the ruler or the king. So we see in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. Now listen to this next phrase. He, God, removes kings and sets up kings.
That's a key verse, Tim.
So we have to recognize in all of these elections, I know, you know, the president's not the same as the king.
Right.
But the reality, the theological reality behind this verse is the same that we face today.
Very much so.
In this election. So when we recognize that God is sovereign, that he ultimately will bring about his purposes in this election, I think that is a very firm foundation upon which we can build the rest of our thinking. We have to recognize that God's plan is not in terms of days and weeks and months and years. See, God is working out a plan for all of history.
Amen.
And that includes days, weeks, months, and years, but it also focuses on decades and centuries, that God is moving us in a direction and in a particular part of his plan. And we are simply a part of that. God is doing something. And that may or may not look like what I want to happen.
Right.
So that's uncomfortable.
But for the believer in Christ, looking at this this passage in Daniel, we see here that, excuse me, he removes kings and sets up kings. That brings a comfort level to me as a believer, knowing that God has his fingerprints all over even an election that's about to happen.
That's absolutely right. And that kind of leads into the second point. So the second point I want to talk about is that God is the one who controls the heart of the king. Now let's look at Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 21, verse 1. Mm-hmm. And that verse says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. So if God doesn't just put a king in place or a president in place or any elected politician, right? It's not just one person. It's we believe this applies to all people. God doesn't just put them in place and leave them there, but that he uses his own sovereignty and the mystery of the sovereignty of God and the free will of mankind and all how that interacts. And yet we recognize that God is working out his plan even in their own thinking.
Yes.
That the heart of the king, the mind of the king, the edicts and dictates of the king is ultimately part of God's big plan.
Amen. Amen.
So even when things don't go the way we want, we recognize God is sovereign and in control, and that can provide the believer trust and rest as we know that the Lord is going to work all these things for our good and his glory.
So what you're saying, Tim, even though if our candidate does not make it in the office and all these other things are happening, For us as a believer, we can step back and we can trust the Lord that He not only put that person in place, but He is the one that is guiding and directing what is happening. Am I right in what I'm hearing? Because these verses do say that, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. So, Tim, you had a couple other verses that you shared the other night.
Well,
share those.
So, if we're kind of following the logical progression, God sets up the king, He controls their heart. So, I think the next reality that we have to acknowledge is that any president that we get out of this election is ultimately better than we deserve.
Oh, explain that one.
So you've probably heard people say, how are you doing today? Hey, I'm better than I deserve.
Yeah.
But that's absolutely true. What, Drew, do you know what I deserve? The Bible tells me in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For Tim has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. Three chapters later, 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin, the consequence of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Two things. Number one, anything short of hell should be received with gratitude.
Well said. Well said.
We don't deserve the breath that we're breathing, and yet in the grace of God, we are alive.
Amen.
We get to live. We get to minister. We get to bless our family, be engaged in the world, participate in the political process. We get to just share the gospel.
Yeah.
And all of that is grace.
Amen.
So the heart attitude of the believer as they think about the election and uncertainty should be one of gratitude.
Yes. Very much
so. Not fear.
Yeah. Well said.
I think the other thing is for those who do not have that same confidence and hope, they need to turn to Christ and to recognize that the consequences for their actions will one day come to fruition.
Yeah.
And if they are not finding themselves in Christ, if they have not leaned on Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for all of their hope for eternity, they will one day face those consequences, not with the grace of God, but with the wrath of God.
Yeah.
And it's not a popular topic.
No.
But it's what
it's
the
biblical.
Bible teaches.
It's biblical.
So we need to have gratitude.
Yes.
Because anything we have is better than we deserve. So that brings us then to the second part of this discussion, which, you know, we talked about politics and setting up kings, sovereignty of God, and our gratitude. Now, what should our response be?
Yes.
Our response, I believe, is threefold. Number one, we need to trust in God, not in politics or our own political persuasions. My favorite investing verse comes from Psalm 20, verse 7. And I do take a little bit of liberty in the way I translate this verse.
I've heard you say it before.
So the verse goes something like this. You probably all know it. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. Some trust in the Democrats, others in the Republicans. Some trust in Trump, some in Biden. Some trust in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Others trust in cash and CDs. Some trust in their own smarts to pick stocks, and others trust in really fancy financial advisors. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
Our trust needs to not be in man. It's got to ultimately be in God, because that's the only place where we can have the confidence to move forward. If our trust is in our political system alone, we're in trouble.
Failure.
Because when the politics don't go our way, we're in trouble. If the politics go our way, we're in trouble, because again, we're trusting everything's going to be okay because our guy won.
Right.
Remember that it is in the Lord that we trust.
Very, very true.
It is ultimately in our money, right? Our dollar bill says, in God we trust. I wish that was more true than than the dollar says.
Yes.
But for the believer, that must be our default heart mode.
For sure.
So the second piece is we need to participate in the process.
Yes.
We need to vote.
Absolutely.
1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
What's that all mean?
It means everything. And that also includes being a part of the process.
Yes.
If you have an opinion, you need to vote. It is not something that God has granted to all people throughout all history, but to whom much is given, much more shall be required. We need to be a part of the process. We need to vote.
Amen.
So the third piece of this, and I think this is really where the rubber meets the road, is we're trusting in God, we're participating in the process. Number three is we should not worry about the result. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, amazing verses everyone needs to memorize, says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And just a few verses later, verse 19 says this, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I want to be careful I don't make that verse say more than it's saying. It's not saying that if you need $20, he's going to give you $20. It means so much more than that.
Yes.
It means that everything you need for life and godliness, according to our knowledge of him who called us, he supplies.
Amen.
That's 2 Peter chapter 1. We recognize that God has granted us all that we need, and he will continue to provide all that we need, both physically and spiritually. So we don't have to worry. If the Lord provides for the birds of the air
every day
and dresses the fields in such glorious raiment and beauty, and recognize that you are worth more than many sparrows, all of that from Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount.
Sure.
You can trust in the Lord because he will provide.
Amen.
No matter what happens with the election, you're going to be okay. And if you can look at me square in the eye and you can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what happens in this election, God is sovereign. He will provide. I can trust in him.
Yes.
We have a very good foundation upon which to now talk about the next stage of this process, which is, okay, now what do I do? How do I invest? How do I manage God's wealth through this time frame?
Well, Tim, that was a very good and very clear biblical overview of theology, of election and politics and all that stuff. And I hope that the bigger picture of our upcoming election and political stance helps the person that's watching to be involved as much as they can, to pray as often as they can, and always trust God that he had everything in control in the past. He still does today, and he will also have his hands and his fingerprints over everything in the future. And he has control of all things in the world, and that includes our political leaders, this economy, and our personal retirement plans. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. With that thought in mind, our personal retirement plans, I know that there have been many questions, Tim, that have come our way as you as a wealth manager and the others that are here on our team. The questions are pertaining to upcoming the election, again, my guy, the other guy, and what's going to happen if political parties change in our presidency. Tim, you don't have a crystal ball. I've seen your father's the one office. He has a fun little crystal ball. He pulls it out and plays with it once in a while, just as a little bit of a joke for some people, saying, if I could see this. But Tim, we don't have crystal balls. We can't look into the future. God knows tomorrow as clearly as we see this moment now, but we're not privileged that way. I know you've had some conversations with some people, and I think the big question is, can you help those that are watching get a better understanding, a better grip of their stewardship of their resources that God has placed into their care, especially in light of this election that we're going to be facing in a few weeks?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, many of my clients are in or approaching retirement.
Yeah.
And I think the concerns of that segment of believers is understandably, I want to be a good steward and also don't want to lose what I have.
Yeah.
And what if Biden wins?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't the stock market going to crash?
Mm.
Or doesn't that mean the end of capitalism and the end of the American dream? And do I need to just go to cash?
Right.
So what do I tactically do with this uncertainty?
Mm.
And I'll walk through the biblical aspects and recognize that God's sovereign. We can trust in him. No matter what happens here, you're going to be okay.
Right.
And after we have that mutual agreement, we then go on to recognize, let's talk about a few realities. Number one, the U.S. economy is bigger and stronger than any one president or political system.
Mm.
So many times, politicians during the campaign will promise, I'll do this to the economy, I'll do that to the economy. Even Donald Trump in the last election made these very bold predictions about what he was going to do. And the reality is, all of their predictions were nothing more than smoke.
Yes.
Because they ultimately don't have control over the economy.
Right.
They have a big say. They can certainly influence some things.
Yes.
But the economy generally, it's stronger than that. Now, let's talk about some worst case scenarios. Let's just say that due to Biden's policies, we become a socialist nation. I want to remind our listeners that there are so many socialist nations in the world today who still have functioning economies and functioning stock markets and people retiring and doing okay. So you think of Great Britain or Germany or any of those European countries, they're all more socialist than we are.
Yes.
And they're all surviving to one extent or another.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at worst case scenarios and we are afraid of what's going to happen if we become more socialistic, I would argue, yes, that's a concern. Yes, you need to vote and let your voice be heard.
Yes.
But we can trust in the Lord. And we can also look out and see the wisdom and say, you know what, it's as bad as that it's going to be, it's also not going to be the end of the stock market.
Yes.
It's not going to be the end of companies. We'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be okay.
Amen.
We may not like it.
We may not like it.
But we'll be okay.
Exactly.
Number two, I guess actually our third point here, no matter what happens, just due to the nature of COVID right now and the mail-in ballots and some of the concerns that people have about whether the mail-in ballots are going to be played with or there's going to be fraud involved, look, we expect there's going to be volatility in the stock market because of uncertainty about the results of the election. I am of the opinion, this is my opinion only, not the entire company's, but my opinion is that we're probably not going to know on election night who won. There's probably going to be a few days, weeks, God forbid even months, where there is uncertainty about the result as votes are tallied and debates happen and gamesmanship and all kinds of things are taking place to try to win control. That is going to create uncertainty, and the stock market doesn't like uncertainty.
No, it doesn't.
So, breathe.
Yes.
Volatility is not a bad word.
No.
Volatility is basically, think of it like turbulence in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
It's not comfortable. No one likes it, but if you're, you know, you're flying at 10,000 feet and you have a little bit of volatility, you're probably going to be okay. You're going to get through that. If you're approaching the landing and you're looking at volatility, that's a bit of a different story.
Yes.
You have less room for error.
Correct.
So as a Christian financial advisor, what that means to me and to my clients is that we have to take risk seriously. It doesn't mean we need to bury our money,
right,
take it out, put it in cash. I think that would be unwise.
We can't put it under our mattress, can we? Don't
sure.
do that.
Because we have to recognize that we still have years to go before the Lord calls us home. And the wealth that he has left us, we need to make sure is able to provide for us for as long as the Lord gives us life. So as we get closer to retirement, as we enter retirement, we need to lower our risk, maybe increase the amount that we have in bonds. But even with bonds, we have to be careful with interest rates where they are. Mm-hmm. We have to look at this holistically. Mm. So there are a couple of things that as we think about with volatility, we don't want to change our long-term plans.
Yes.
Our long-term hard thought, hard planned retirement programs because of short-term volatility. Mm-hmm. Short-term volatility is not enough of a reason for us to make those changes.
That's a normal factor in this. Am I right in saying that?
I mean, anytime the market acts up, people get nervous and they want to respond after the market's had a big drop and say, I don't want to lose any more. Right. So they pull it out, they put it in cash because they don't want to lose any more. But the reality is your long-term plan already accounted for periods of uncertainty, yes, periods of volatility, and down markets. Mm-hmm. So since it's already baked that into our calculations, we don't know when it's going to be. We don't know how severe it's going to be, but we know it's coming.
Yes.
If we got the risk measure right, we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about all of the different small nitty-gritties between here and there. Mm-hmm. We're going to be fine. So get the risk level right. So if you're working with a financial advisor, so if you're one of our clients, you're already talking to your financial advisor, they're already dialing in the risk to where it needs to be. Now is the time to do it. Not like as we're seeing and experiencing that volatility, it's too late. Mm-hmm. So dial it in now. If you don't work with us, if you don't have a financial advisor, I would encourage you to reach out to one of our team, yeah, and see what we can do to help you in your stewardship journey to make sure that you're managing that risk well. Mm-hmm. All right. Caution is warranted regardless of the election results.
Yeah.
I don't have a crystal ball, like you said. Yeah. I don't know the outcome of the election. Our Lord does. But we still need to be cautious, which doesn't mean bury your money under a rock.
Right.
It just means let's not go full steam as if everything's going to be fine. Let's kind of have a foot on both pedals,
right,
so to speak. Mm-hmm. And here's some tactical pieces of application that we've found to be really helpful for our clients. Number one, the best offense is a good defense. Mm. Again, going back to risk management, before the election, consider where you are in your goals, mm-hmm, what kind of risk you're willing to experience, especially in light of earlier this year, mm-hmm, and make sure you're at the right level.
Sure.
So dial it back if you need to. For many of our clients who are using our biblically responsible investment models, our mm-hmm BRI models, mm-hmm, we've already done the heavy lifting for you. We've already done a really good job of dialing, my opinion, okay? I think we've done a good job of dialing, yeah, back that risk, and that's been borne out by the performance we saw during the last market downturn this spring.
Yes.
Those portfolios did a really good job of dampening the downside risk. Now, look, past performance is no guarantee of future results. We have, for to sure, acknowledge all, for sure, of those realities.
Yes.
But I feel like we've done as good a job as we can do, mm-hmm, to dampen and minimize the effect of that volatility. Mm-hmm. If you have money on the sidelines, you may want to hang on and look for a dip in the market. Look for that volatility to come into play, mm-hmm, before putting it into the market.
It's on sale.
So, you know, I'm never opposed to putting money into work now, especially if you have a long-term time frame. But if you're a little bit more opportunistic, keep in contact with your advisor, but yes, look for an opportunity as we have a dip in the market. Instead of reacting in fear and uncertainty, it might be a very good long-term move, mm-hmm, to go ahead and buy in on some of those lower priced securities. Mm-hmm. If you're retiring soon, like the next 1 to 2 years, or if you're in retirement and taking income, you should probably look at your monthly income need, mm-hmm, and make sure that if you're relying on, to the extent that you're relying on your investments to provide that income, you should probably have, I don't know, maybe 12 months, 18 months worth of income, maybe 24 months worth of income, depending on how conservative you are, In cash. So you can keep it inside your portfolio in cash, or you can keep it outside of the investments in cash, but have those funds in cash so that you don't need to be withdrawing from your account during a down market. We want to allow the cash to do what it was designed to do, which is to dampen volatility and protect your portfolio. So if you are already retired and not drawing income, keep your long-term plans in place. Volatility is going to come. It's going to pass. Don't change the plan just because of the uncertainty. Consider doing Roth conversions during periods of down markets. If the market drops substantially, that's a really good time to take some of the money that you have in accounts like IRAs or 401ks that have never been taxed. The value per share is lower. So you can convert that over to a Roth IRA. You'll have to pay taxes on what's converted. But because it's at a lower value, you can convert more shares, which is better long-term, because as the economy improves and the stock market recovers, we're going to see it actually reap that reward, and all of that growth would be tax-free. Again, when you're talking about Roth conversions, talk to your financial advisor, talk to a tax professional. Make sure that you know what you're doing and the impact that's going to have on you, but that's a wise move. And then finally, for most of you, recognize that if you're working with a financial advisor, they're already doing so much of that heavy lifting for you. So you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. All right. Drew, that's all I have for the discussion. Do you have any other questions for me?
I have no other questions. I think more of a statement, and that is, Tim, you have put together such a good big picture of what the scriptures are saying and how we need to not rely on our political parties or our political process. As important as that is, especially for those of us that are listening and you're here in the United States, we have this great opportunity to be part of that process. Every year we're part of that process. But that is not our hope, Tim. And that's what I so enjoyed you sharing with our clients the other couple weeks ago. You shared that with them and you gave them a bigger picture of hope with all the uncertainty that's floating around here to get back to that rock solid base that God is on the throne. And all that this is happening, we need to just trust Him. And also, to be able to not have a lot of trust, but do what you can, lean into your financial advisor that has their best interest at your heart, and hopefully a financial advisor that understands the Word of God and sees that bigger picture. That, to me, is a game changer for I know for our clients, that's why we're working with them.
You know, we care so much about helping Christians become even better stewards of all of their assets. If you're hearing this today, you're watching the video, you're listening to the podcast version, and you recognize that maybe you need help to figure out your stewardship responsibility, how you can be even better as a steward, and you'd like our help, we offer a free one-on-one stewardship review. We have five Christian wealth managers in our office. We can meet with you either in person if you're local and you feel comfortable with that, or over the phone or a video call to help you see where you are today, where you want to go, where the gaps are, where the roadblocks are, and help chart a path through that. All while reminding you to trust and rely on the Lord.
Amen. How would they go about reaching out to us?
Well, they can go to thelifegroup.org and hit the contact us, request a meeting. That's one option. Or they can go to Stewardology Podcast and reach us the same way. Call us at 610-385-4500, 800-688-5800.
Good memory.
Our 1-800 number. Or reach out to us in any of our other social media avenues.
Tim, very enlightening, very solid advice, very biblical advice, which I love. And I just want to say thank you, hopefully for our own clientele that are listening in, that this has brought a little bit of peace and understanding of the sovereignty of God and the election and finances and your stewardship. We're very grateful that you took the time to check in with us, and we want to encourage you. If this video has encouraged you and helped you to maybe understand your realm of stewardship in a greater way, please take some time, do a like, do a share, and share this with others, not for our sake, but to help other people understand that God is still on the throne.
Amen.
Tim, any other thoughts?
Nope. I think that'll do it for today.
Thank you so much for joining us, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us on the Stewardology Podcast, where financial stewardship and theology meet. We'd like to help you take your next steps in biblical financial stewardship. First, subscribe in your podcast provider to get the newest episode delivered to you every week. Next, follow us on social media and visit our website at stewardologypodcast.com. There you can find our social media links and our entire episode archive. Today, I'd like to remind you of Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See you next week on the Stewardology Podcast. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.